Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to Roast Battle, the podcast. This is a very special episode where we are recapping the new season of Roast Battle. We're fresh off Sarah Tiana battling Dolph Ziggler. Sarah Tiana is going to join us for an interview. But up first, we're going to talk about Todd Barry versus Brendan Walsh.
I'm excited. I know Moses is excited. I hear your voice is gone.
It was a pretty good season. You can tell by my voice, it's a pretty good season. I'm joined as always by Coach T.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, Coach, how's the season treating you?
Oh, you know, it's been really good.
Yeah, and our favorite analyst and battler, Pat Barker. What up, Pat?
What's up, guys? I'm excited. A lot of great battles this season. I'm excited to talk about them. One of the biggest names in the whole tournament went first overall, Todd Barry.
Todd Barry versus Brendan Walsh.
Got right out there.
They have a Twitter beef, and they were like, you know what? Let's get off of Twitter and actually see each other face-to-face and see who's funnier. And by the looks of it, we'll play the clip.
Who wants to go first?
I think we're going to switch things up because Brendan always goes on first because he never headlines. I'm going to go ahead and go first.
All right. Are we ready?
A lot of people get Brendan Walsh confused with Brandon Walsh from 90210. Here's how to tell them apart. Brandon Walsh is the funny one who's been on TV.
Shit, nice try, Todd.
The dry wit of Todd Barry, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing drier than Todd's wit are the women's vaginas at one of his shows. Seriously, there's actually a hashtag for women who've had sex with Todd. Hashtag me ew.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one, was it? Brendan Walsh looks like the guy you have to be nice to if you want to get booked on open mic at Burning Man.
As usual, Todd Barry is Teflon. You can't really say anything that's going to hurt him or harm him. I mean, that Ron Howard joke about...
when he said you look like Ron Howard if he directed snuff films, and Todd Barry was like, it's funny that you think he would look differently depending on what genre of movie he's directing.
I like Todd because he's a very authentic roaster. You know, he's not trying to be anything other than Todd, and I think that's very special. Not many people can do that, so he's very original when he performs.
Really, really consistent, too. For a guy who's never really roast battled, he came out season two, and he was consistently good every battle, and he carried it over to this season. I didn't know what to expect out of Brendan Walsh. Obviously, great comic.
Right.
Really funny dude. And, you know, he went up there, and he was a wild card. Todd Barry was the more experienced one,
right?
Which is because he was a rookie last year. It's pretty crazy, but I thought they both stayed true to what they normally do on stage. It was fun.
Do you buy the premise that if you're the king, someone has to completely knock you off? It can't be even for it to kind of go your way? Because I think Todd, people are assuming like in order to beat Todd, you got to like blow him up. Is that cool or?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's kind of what happened last season.
Yeah, know? I think if you're an underdog, you should always set out to dominate. Because, yeah, it's sort of like that tie goes to the runner kind of thing. Like, anytime something objective is like, you know, voting or judging is involved, people are going to naturally skew towards the
heavy favorite.
The preconceived favorite. Whoever they thought going in, oh, this guy's going to win. They're probably going to come out of it feeling, if it was close, that person won.
Yeah, like Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. Like, Conor had to knock him out to beat him.
Yeah.
Not just go 12 rounds with him.
Now, that being said, I thought Todd Barry won.
Yeah, Todd Barry won.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Todd Barry won. And I think it's real easy because I'm a huge Todd Barry fan. I remember when I first saw him, he was doing Roast Battle. I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. And I almost find myself getting caught up in that all. But I'm like, you got to remember that it's kind of a competition, but it's like, you got to convince me to separate my love from Todd Barry. And I don't think Brendan did that. Well, very good comment, has some really good jokes, but he didn't disconnect me from my infatuation with Todd Barry.
No, it was still a love fest for Todd. I think this is, you know, it was a lot of Todd's personality in this battle, even when Brendan was there. Even if he had a shot at Todd, it was still, oh, and then Todd had a joke for that and then kind of ran over whatever Brendan said.
I think the more successful you are, the more you put yourself at a disadvantage. I think strategically speaking.
Or there's more material out there for you to choose from.
Absolutely. There's a million things you could talk about with Todd Barry that is easily accessible to people. With Brendan Walsh, I mean, Todd Barry was sort of limited. He went back to the same well a lot, which was basically, you're not funny or successful.
Uh-huh.
But it was sort of like, remember season one when Jimmy Carr battled Christy Cello?
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Carr, in his jokes, was saying, like, there's literally nothing anybody knows about this woman.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was, an advantage potentially for Brendan Walsh.
Okay. I mean, I guess. But Todd Barry's a super comedian, so.
It's true.
So I don't know. Maybe the advantage is to him because it seems like he can make anything funny.
He commands a room. I mean, he's brilliant.
Like, how about that? Like, how for people who think that you got to arise on a personality level to a Yamanika or a Jamar in order to get that type of attention, I say that Todd has the attention of the room with a quarter of that energy. Very efficient with getting people to look at him.
Yeah, a quarter is being generous.
Yeah.
Comparing him to Yamanika?
Yeah.
I mean, a millionth of that
polar
energy.
Polar opposites.
Yeah, but the effect is equal, I feel like.
Yeah, I completely agree. And he was able to... It's funny because Roast Battle is supposed to be so high energy, high octane, bloodthirsty. Everybody's pounding the walls and shit. And then he steps up and everybody just quiets down. They come to him.
Yeah.
Which is really cool to see.
Yeah, it is.
Super professional.
And I like, I think there's interpretations of the Roast Battle. And there is one where it's this WWE, we're slamming blah, 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 blah. But I love it when it can just be a moment of funniness. Whether it's an attack or it's a roll off or it's a rebuttal. But when it's just a moment of funniness that Todd can, he might be the king of that based on these last three seasons. But just being funny, and it doesn't even matter that it's aimed in an attack towards a person. So I like he pulls that off.
I thought it was a good way to kick off the season. I think the battles are just going to get bigger and better. But it was really, really solid, I thought.
Yeah, start with the low energy, and then you finish with Sarah Tiana and Dolph Ziggler.
That's right, and we're going to be talking to Sarah Tiana in a minute. She's going to be joining us here in the studio. But before that, I think we got a couple clips. Before we even get to her battle, we're going to... Coach, I think we're going to dig up some stuff that we've heard from her before.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. You might not have heard.
Yeah, just so help me out, Moses. She battled in...
Season one, the tournament.
But hold on. Didn't she do Old School Montreal that was unfilmed?
Yeah. She was in the...
Who'd she get there?
Back in the Roastmasters, she battled Catherine Ryan.
Okay.
Who's a permanent judge over in the Roast Battle UK.
Oh, really?
She also got a Netflix special.
Okay. That Dirty Dozen?
She did the Dirty Dozen against Joe DeRosa.
Oh, she was in the Reitman film. Right, that went to Sundance.
That was a fun... She's an experienced Roast Battler, and we have a bunch of stuff we can pull up for her. So,
Here is a package of Sarah Tiana jokes before we get into Sarah Tiana's interview.
Kill him, Sarah.
Well, this is fun. I'm very excited to be roasting Catherine because I think you're great. And I'm just excited to be the first person to abuse you that doesn't have a dick.
Nice.
I think that'll be fun.
I'm excited too.
Catherine is from Canada but lives in the United Kingdom now. I mean, the only person that wants to be British more than you is Madonna. And I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but you two could totally be brothers.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Honestly, like, Catherine, I mean... You know, you're known for your edgy humor that's, like, so fearless, and you say all these things that nobody will say. But honestly, I've been shocked more by a tampon I left in too long.
That hurt. It really is a problem.
And we're back with Sarah Tiana, roast writing extraordinaire, fresh off her writing on the Bruce Willis roast and her battle with Dolph Ziggler. Sarah, how do you feel? Post-battle?
I'm so tired. I don't think, I mean, I think
people maybe don't understand the pressure that you go under to take upon that that endeavor. I think it's very stressful. It's not just stressful writing; it's stressful waiting to go up the whole week leading up to it. But also, ultimately, you're trying new jokes for the first time in front of a live audience and TV cameras. So no matter what, it's just it takes a lot of energy out of you mentally and physically.
I believe it. Peck can attest to that.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Yeah. Every time I have a battle, and we're talking about on TV, we're talking about the big show right now. But even when I have a battle at the Comedy Store, it's stressful. Yeah, because
I feel the same way at the Comedy Store. There's no difference.
You don't know what's going to work. You don't know before every battle, I can envision a scenario where everything goes perfectly and a scenario where everything misses.
Yeah, because you also go in and you go, this joke's awesome. And then that does not work. And then a joke that you're like, I shouldn't tell that, they die at. And then you hear, pram, pram, pram. And you're like, what? I almost didn't even say that joke. So you really don't. It's such a roll of the dice.
Now, you used to date Dolph?
No, we never really dated. Like, we were like, maybe we'll go out, and then we were like, this is so dumb. Like, we're like brother and sister. It was there was never chemistry. We were just like, we're supposed to date, right? Because we are both attractive people who are athletic and sports, and we like comedy, and then, no, I think we went to, like, dinner or something, and it was just like, there's no chemistry.
Where'd he take you, Ruby Tuesday?
You know, the best. I don't know. I think it was just like a steakhouse or something.
Nice.
Yeah, or probably he's like Saddle Ranch. He loves Saddle Ranch.
Does he?
He loves Saddle Ranch.
Where's
and
he
Britney
from?
Spears.
Cleveland.
He's from Cleveland. He's from Ohio. Went to Kent State. Yeah, he's like a legit wrestler. Like, he was a state champion guy, and like kind of
he really wrestled in high school?
He wrestled in high school and then walked on to Kent State and then ended up getting a full scholarship and would have won 4 years straight his college championship, but one of the last year, the girl scored it wrong and messed up, and the other guy won. And
this is his story, right?
Yeah, this is his story. His dad even has video of it. And then he ended up running into that girl at a wedding years later and then totally fucked her. So he got his revenge.
Oh, wow.
That's my boy.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Get him, Dolph.
You know,
you too.
I didn't know he really wrestled. I would have tried to have a conversation with him.
He's a legit wrestler. And that's usually the big complaint amongst the fans in the WWE is that they know how good of a wrestler he is and they hate that he loses. That's why he has so many fans. He's like the mean guy, the heel.
He's the heel, right?
He's the loser. Yeah. But that's what makes fans so upset is because he's clearly a way better wrestler than anybody else.
That's
and
cool.
I mean, honestly, the only reason that he's had 3 concussions, which is true, is because he's wrestling against people who are not good wrestlers. And they'll do something wrong, and then he gets hurt.
You got to protect each other.
WWE. That's a big part
of
it.
Like a dance.
Yeah. Now,
coming into this battle, I think the consensus, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the consensus was that you were going to beat the shit out of Dolph Ziggler in a roast battle. Like, if Vegas was putting down odds, you would have been minus 400.
The guy who's relatively new to comedy, he's known as, you know, a WWE superstar.
Yeah,
And you're a roast battle legend, but that's not what happened. It was a really tight, close. Were you surprised by how well he performed?
No. Not at all. I knew that. I knew that he would be good because he takes comedy and joke writing very seriously. Like I said, we do shows together on the road, and he is, you know, 10 times as famous as I am, maybe 100 times as famous, and he refuses to be the headliner because he's like, I'm not ready. Like, my jokes are not there yet. And so he's a real comic. So I'll open for him. He'll open for me on weekends that I'm already booked at sometimes. But most of the time when we do shows together, he will headline, but he'll do 30 minutes and then I'll open with 30 minutes. And then we do a 30-minute Q&A at the end. Because, feels like he's headlining, but it's still like both of us kind of doing the same time and it's his name on the bill. And then I interview him, and because I know nothing about wrestling other than what I've learned from him, which isn't very much because we don't talk about it. Surprise. So then I'll get questions from the audience. And now we'll be able to take these jokes that we didn't use on each other or that we did use and like kind of use that in the Q&A as well. So that'll be really fun. But he takes it really seriously, and I knew he would take the battle seriously, which is another reason that I wanted to pitch him as the person that I went against. Because, A, if I lost, you want to pitch someone that you think will be fun to battle and that you don't mind losing to. And I don't mind losing to him because I know how seriously he takes it and how much he cares. You don't want to pitch somebody that doesn't care and is just going to phone it in and, like, you know, not be good. And I knew he would be good.
You got any jokes left on the table that you didn't use?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
How many did you write, do you think?
I wrote 2.5 pages. Yeah. So, you know, so whatever that is. Like,
still
probably write? 25.
You don't text? You still write, right? Like, with a pen?
No. I typed it out on a computer. Yeah. Wow. I think that was one of the jokes, too. I was like, I knew he would... I knew.
But the visual wasn't working. With
yeah, me. Sorry. Yeah. When I
what year do you live in?
Yeah, I was like, so, she said, I was like, why did you, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a new thing. Type, most people who write on shows, we use computers and write. You know, like,
oh,
it's a lot of technology in the world now. But
shit is crazy.
I know what you use is you know, just sound effects. But what I use is a keyboard.
That's how he communicates. Yeah.
I think I had a joke, something about like how even when Dolph was like writing up his set, Microsoft Word was like, if you really want to have a chance, shouldn't you be using Times New Roman Reigns? It was really stupid. But I had some other, a lot of wrestling jokes, so I chose not to do those ones about with wrestling references, just in case the room didn't know. So I was like, I could definitely use these on our live shows because those will be all wrestling fans. But just in case the room wasn't full of wrestling fans, kind of like what happened to me in Canada. Like, I did a sports joke.
Oh, yeah, 49ers.
And then nobody knew what,
yeah,
what that meant.
I heard, because that was a good joke.
And that was a
good
joke.
I remember that, yeah.
I told Mike Lawrence, for someone who doesn't know anything about sports, you sure do look a lot like a 49er. And, yeah, nobody.
That's a lot. You sports and you guys actually know what a 49er is? Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, come on, Sarah. What?
No, I'm an idiot. But yeah.
I like how we talked about Ernest Byner, Cleveland Brown, like a legend in NFL.
Never heard of him.
But then we go into a history reference because you used to be a history teacher. You're all over that one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you open with the ice joke?
Yes, I opened with the ice joke.
I appreciated that as somebody who's going to be battling in a few weeks myself.
Mm-hmm. And who is a kid you're about to be separated from.
No, but just watching him being like, I wonder how this crowd is going to react to something a little bit more harsh. Mm-hmm. And are they going to recoil, or are they going to be into it? And then you opened with referencing the ICE detention centers, and it killed.
Oh, thanks.
And I was like, oh, all right, I feel a lot better about this whole thing.
Yeah, you lost
what,
more
the,
girls
the
than
ICE detention
ICE
centers?
Detention
yeah,
centers.
Now I think they're fine.
Well, also, I had the belt joke was actually an Anthony Bourdain joke or a Robin Williams joke. I wasn't sure, but I was like, if they grow, and I'm going to use both names.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, sorry, I meant to say Anthony Bourdain. It was like, you're trusted less with a belt than, you know, Robin Williams or Anthony Bourdain or whatever. Oof. But I just changed it into a CTE joke.
When in doubt, go concussions.
But yeah, he's known for not having a belt, and that was like... But I think there was one about how Dolph would, I don't know why you don't have a girlfriend. You'd make a great boyfriend because you're totally fine. You love it when women fake orgasms as long as they don't call them fake.
Oh,
Sarah, you had to use that.
I know. That's the thing is, like, there were all these ones that I didn't know.
On.
You don't know. Like, again, you know, like,
I
he's
not
a
know
big,
that
heavy.
Fire.
Yeah, I know. I
so,
agree.
So how about this?
I read all my girls. Yeah,
you're like, are they going to like that one, or are they going to like the one about him, his girlfriend broke up with them because when he went down on her, he tapped out after three counts.
Oh, that one killed, by the way.
That one killed. So it was between those two. So I'm like, these are, you know.
Nah, that fake shit hot.
Yeah.
But that's good. But I just want to know. So, like, what do you use to help judge it? Because, like, you know, I only can speak in DJ. So sometimes I'm like, yo, this is a hot record. And then I'll throw Beyonce on, and then nobody moves. And I'm like, yo, this is Beyonce. Y'all crazy. And so, like, so what's your vetting process? Like what's, like, how do you, I don't know, how do you judge internally?
Well, I will read, usually I'll read them out to people who, like, mm-hmm. jokes. Like, I run a lot of things by the Sklars.
Okay. Nice.
And they run a lot of their stuff by me. And then they'll be like, that one, this one, you know. And then I'll try somebody else, and I'll try to take the consensus. But then I also, last night, I just called an audible because I could tell that they kind of liked more, like, the sexual girlfriend jokes about him. And That's why I threw in the girlfriend one tapping out after a three count, and I took out one about how I don't know why he loses all the time. I guess it's because he spends so much energy fighting illiteracy. And I was like, I thought clearly he's making a case that he's smart with all these jokes, so I'm not going to use that joke. So you kind of have 10 jokes floating around in your head, and then I'm just kind of Peyton Manning and out there. You know, I'm just calling an audible, and I'm like, okay, I'm going here. Oh, I'm going here, and it's a last second decision. Yeah. And never know.
It's deeper than coaches.
Much.
Amen. Thank you.
I never heard of those guys.
which joke did he do hurt you the most?
Oh, well, none of them hurt me.
Right. Which one stung the most then?
I guess the kid one, you know? I don't know. I think the pigskin one.
That was a good one.
And I don't think, that's what stung the most is that I felt like you could have put that joke, any girl's name in there, and that joke works.
You were like, oh, that's too generic.
I was like, come on. You're better than that, but it worked and it killed. So I totally understand why he did it, because sometimes you need those jokes for the room, because the room isn't always. Sometimes you don't give them enough credit for being smart, and then sometimes you give them too much credit and they're not smart. And you're like,
damn. You were just talking about I had to do more sex jokes because the crowd seemed to like it.
The crowd seemed to like that. So here
you go. Some hits out there, right? Yeah, you can't do underground hip hop.
That's one of the worst feelings in roast battle when somebody drops a joke that you think is not that good or it's super generic.
And then the room explodes
and you're looking at him like, really?
I mean, I just got off the Bruce Willis roast, you know, and you're writing a joke and you're like, oh man, this is fire. This is going to explode the room. Mm-hmm. And then nothing.
Yeah.
It does not get bolded and you're like, what? And then you write a joke about how Bruce Willis was in a Twilight Zone episode called Shatterday, which is also what happens after he eats cheese, and everyone's like, bold immediately, and you're like,
you like
what?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Shatterday.
You know,
that was pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny joke, but it's not the one I expected to get the most love.
Right. Like the most clever, you know, it's like, this is such a good roast. There's levels to it.
Oh,
they're
smart.
Gonna love it.
This is a really
Shatterday. Hilarious.
Garbage. That's what that is. That's that low-hanging fruit.
It got put in the script, too, twice, so that it didn't make the cut. And I was just like, geez, like, this joke is really going further than that. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. All these amazing ones that I wrote, but it's been, it's been such a ride after that roast, too, because I wrote that ending part. It was my idea to do the thing where Bruce Willis says it's not a Christmas movie. It's a goddamn Bruce Willis movie about Die Hard.
I love that idea, but I hate his answer because I just vehemently disagree with it.
Yes, of course.
It is a Christmas
movie. Yeah, see, that's actually the thing. It's been this great debate.
Yeah, it's been a huge
Why do you think it's a Christmas movie?
Because it's set during Christmas. It's all about him reuniting with his family.
Let me ask you this.
He literally kills a guy and then writes on his shirt, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho," which is the catchphrase of one Santa Claus. Which makes it a Christmas movie.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were to take Christmas out of the equation, does the movie work?
Well, yeah, it's a great movie.
Okay.
Of course it works.
What about this?
This is a great debate.
Is the protagonist and the antagonist both, do they both care about Christmas? Because I feel like only the protagonist
Sarah
cares
whooping
about
that
Christmas.
Ass right now.
That's fair.
That's why it's not a Christmas.
He's lost battle.
Yeah, goddamn it.
This isn't good.
All right, well then proceed with your thing.
This isn't good foreshadowing, Pat.
I've had,
for your
battle. Yes. Okay. I know, believe me, I've just had this argument three times. Once with Jake Tapper in a real huge debate.
Yeah, this isn't real, Pat.
Yeah.
It's real to me, damn it.
No, I meant real huge,
Don't call Pat.
But he's like, her name is Holly, that's his wife's name. And I think Christmas gets used as a background.
Right.
Because Christmas is the highest stakes. You know, when we're writing a roast joke, you need the stakes to be high. Like, that's the reason that a joke about someone who just committed suicide works is because the stakes are high. If you're using a reference to the Thai caves or ice, you know, the stakes are high because that's fresh on people's mind. And then when the stakes are higher, the joke is funnier. And that's why Christmas is usually used as the holiday in a movie, because the stakes are higher. It's more important, right? It's important that
Supremely
he be
hack.
There because, you know, but it also, I would say that Mother's Day is pretty high, like, or making it to your anniversary. But somehow Christmas is way more important because it's the time when you're supposed to be together as a family, so the stakes are higher. But so I understand why they use Christmas as the background, but I don't think it's definitely necessary. Yeah.
Well, as a black guy in the corner over here, I consider it a Reginald Van Johnson, Dad from Family Matters movie. So.
I agree.
It's kind of introduces him to the world. So.
Yeah, I think he's more of the savior.
I was bugging. So
Christmas and Hollis.
Oh, man. Oh, really good movie. I'm sorry. Back to the roast.
Hey, you're not burnt out from all these roast jokes you write?
Yes, yes, I'm extremely burnt out. But at the same time, it was the perfect time for me to do it because I was in the mode, and what I was really nervous about was doing my cousin's wedding last weekend. I was like, I hope I don't say anything super fucked up.
Yeah,
that I think is a good joke, and everyone's like, Jesus, that was a little dark, you know. So I didn't. I was just happy that I didn't do that. But when you're in the mode, like I remember one time going from the burn to the ESPYs,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, mean. Yeah, they were like, we can't use any of this. This is ESPN, aka Disney, right? Like, we can't use any of these jokes. And I was like, what? These are great jokes. No, they're way too dark.
I have to know, is there any way to hurt you in a roast battle?
To hurt me?
Yeah, to make you walk
Your weaknesses.
Make you walk away and feel like, oh, man. Make you re-examine certain elements of yourself?
I feel like the only thing that ever really hurts is when a joke isn't funny or when I feel like you didn't prepare, because I feel like I know I'm taking a lot of time to write jokes about you, and when you don't do the same for me, that's a huge slap in the face.
Oh, so like when you battled Tiffany Haddish a few years ago, you must have really hated that battle.
I did hate that battle because I was like, I had a lot of high hopes for her, but also that's like sometimes it's just not someone's wheelhouse,
right?
And it's, you know, Tiffany does a 10,000 things better than me when it comes to other things, and roasting just isn't her forte, and it's the same for other people. There's lots of people that are like that.
So you ain't never been hurt? You never been like, oh yeah, man, I am whatever, or I am concerned about whatever?
No.
Wow, that's very impressive.
But also, like, there's nothing in my past that's really harmful that I've done, you know? And I'm also, like I haven't had any terrible things really happen to me in my life. So I would say that that's partly why. Because, you know, like, I've never been raped or molested or...
I'm sorry.
I've, you know, my kids never died. You know, like, there's, like, nothing that's ever... So there's, you know, that you can't really hit me, you know, where it hurts because I
mean, get me wrong, Pat. I think it's not necessarily the events that I hear that hurts them. It's like, oh, I've always had an issue with my freckles, and then someone brings them out.
I can tell you the roast joke that hurt me the most.
What's that?
And people hit me on the miscarriage and my dad dying and all that. The one that hurt me the most, when I first moved out here, I wasn't doing as much stand-up as I wanted to be doing at that time. And I battled Toby Mirashanu, and he said, Pat did stand-up for 10 years, then moves here and never performs. He's the only person Hollywood broke on the flight over.
Oh!
And it didn't really hit in the room, but in my heart...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was broken.
Yeah, you gotta deal with that.
Because that was my deepest insecurity at the time, is like, I should be going out and doing more stand-up. And somehow he knew, you know, and he hit it.
Yeah, because something happened to him.
I think the worst, the joke that maybe hit me, cut me the deepest, would have been the one that Mike Lawrence said, where he said, Sarah's actually a prude. She doesn't even put out new material.
Ooh.
And I was like, because part of me was like that made me go like, do I not put out new material?
Yeah.
Wait a second, you know? And so I think that maybe that's like the only thing, because you can't tell me that I'm not funny, because I know that's not true. You can call me unfunny, you know, like last night when Dolph was like, the only thing that makes her, that the only thing feminine about her is that she's not funny.
Right.
I was like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm about to prove you wrong.
Yeah, you really doubled down on that one. That takes balls to call your shot, like Babe Ruth style, in the middle of the roast battle. You're like, I'm about to be really, really funny.
Yes. So, I mean, it's like, I think I had already proved him wrong for two jokes.
Right, especially with that ice joke up top,
So, I don't know. I would actually say the joke I said after that didn't work as well, but... I think that was the tiny dick joke too, which I loved that joke about how he drives a convertible,
right.
He wears tank tops, he listens to heavy metal. For someone with a big dick, you sure do act like someone with a tiny dick.
Right, because yeah. No, you know what hurts it?
You
compliment him. You say like, it's like, by the way, when you say he's got a big dick, I'm like, oh, does he?
Yeah, I can't laugh at that.
That he acts like someone.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that.
Exactly.
I don't even know that for sure.
Right, but yeah, it's a backhand compliment, but it's almost like, all right, he acts like he has a tiny dick, but he has a big dick, so where's the joke here?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I just thought that, I don't know. I feel like that's not a compliment, because if you have a big dick, you
insecure.
Shouldn't act like that.
Like,
yeah,
why
are you so insecure about?
So you had
but I have a big dick.
And all that other stuff, the convertible and everything leading up to
I'm
it.
I'm literally winning right now.
Yeah.
Sorry for acting such, but...
Doff may do a bunch of cool shit, but he also has a gigantic dick.
Sometimes the setup is funnier than the punchline. Also in the Bruce Willis roast, I mean... The setup of a joke that I wrote is getting more play than the punchline. So you're like it's been quoted, like the setup that I wrote for Cybill Shepherd is getting quoted and everything. And not
which
the
one is
punchline.
This?
The joke was about how Bruce Willis has done over 100 movies using just one facial expression. But the setup is Hollywood wouldn't be Hollywood if they didn't reward a man for aging into mediocrity.
Ooh shit. Yeah, hold on.
So
I am recording. Hold on.
Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh.
Come on.
You just heard every man in this room.
God damn. Let's get some more women. Where's Melissa?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was just like a cool setup, and you're like, oh, this is true, but we need a joke after it.
Yeah, it's so true. Oh, man,
you don't want it to just be true, you know. You want a joke is funny because it's based. It sounds like it could be true, but it's not.
Yeah, that is.
That's why I think when people get upset about jokes about race, like I'm like, you're the problem because you're acting like that's a fact and it's not.
Right.
That's not cool. Like if I make a joke about, you know, like I when I was on that NASCAR show, I did a joke about the Mexican driver, and I was like, you know, he's not going to hit the wall or get close to any wall now that Trump is president.
That's really funny.
And then I was like, also, I'm just happy he's driving with insurance. That's kind
of
what I got. That's kind
of
what I got.
Victim of that shit.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah. If you live in a border town, you totally get that. I was in San Diego for 7 years.
I completely get that. I've been hit by so many uninsured drivers. But stereotypes are funny because they're not facts. They're based on facts.
Except the big dick from Black Guys. That one is,
not a fact, though.
That's an encyclopedia, and it's also what you're talking about.
But it just sounds like it could be true.
No, that's true.
It's.
I mean, I know you have a joke about it.
It's based on facts, but it's not a universal fact.
All right, let's go find that one black guy.
Yeah, I treat it like Klay Thompson. I'm just on a winning team.
Right? Sure.
Who cares how good I am?
Klay Thompson's the good one. That's more of a Draymond Green thing.
That's a JaVale McGee bar.
I gotta come off the bench.
You gotta go. You gotta be the sixth man on that.
I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be in the Big Dick Club.
Be Swaggy P.
Yeah, Swaggy P.
Nick Young.
Swaggy P. Still got a ring.
Yeah,
he's the guy in the ring.
No Igazalia.
He doesn't have a shirt, but he has a ring.
Yeah.
He never wears a shirt.
I like the way you break down comedy. You have a really good grip on it. And I wish there was a way to like almost set you up to talk about it a little bit more, because you're very intelligent, and that's probably why you're so successful.
Oh, thanks.
But based on the theatrics of last night, how did you feel about it? Like, how did you feel? You've been writing roast jokes forever. You're just on TV right now. Did you have a good time?
I had a good time.
It showed.
I had a good time. I always have a great time. It was really difficult because I think he's the first person that I ever roasted that I'm that close to.
Really?
That's super close. Yeah, you know, like he feels like my brother, you know?
Oh.
And so it really felt like difficult, and I was also so worried about him doing
right,
well.
Right, because you guys are so tight. You're just like, I don't want you to look bad either. I want you to look good.
Yeah. I want me to look good. I also want you to like the jokes that I'm doing and be like, that was a dope joke, you know? And I'm not sure if I did that, you know? I don't think that I impressed him as much as I would have wanted to. I thought my jokes were like... good, but not great.
What would you do differently?
You also have a lot of time.
What would you do differently if you prep? Like, how would you work that night differently? You could do it over.
I think I just would have prepared more, or maybe like, you know, I think the most fun thing about a roast is that you usually find one thing about that, like one small insecurity about that person, and then you just enlarge it and make it exaggerate it.
Okay.
And the problem with Nick is that he doesn't have any insecurities, you know, like he's not really like an insecure guy. And it's exactly why it's hard to roast me. I don't, like I said, I don't have a lot of things other than like being single and old. There's really not much more you
can
say.
That's not negative though, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. It's like,
I'm also insecure about that. I'm like, that's not a bad thing. I'm over 30 and single.
The thing is, he does lose a lot, but that's not because he's not a good wrestler.
Right.
It's because it's in the script, you know?
Right.
And he's also one of the highest paid wrestlers. They refuse to let him go. They need him to make other wrestlers shine. If they don't have him, there's nobody's famous. Nobody's famous if they don't have Nick. So, and by the way, I constantly forget to call him.
Yeah, we got to beat that out.
I know. Sorry, his name is Nick, and that's all I've known him as.
Yeah.
So I don't look at him.
Nick Ziggler. Yeah.
Dog.
That's really his name.
No, it's Nick Nemeth.
Obviously, it's not Nick Ziggler.
That name is high, bro. Sounds like a hot scooter. Oh, she's a porno star?
No, it sounds like a porn name.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler does. Yeah.
Low key, with a mustache? I see it.
He's like the Susan Lucci of wrestling and comedy.
Did you all right? Literally.
Who is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Right. Soap opera star, coach. She's
Sam Gladys.
Oh, I know her.
I didn't do
really?
That joke. I'm glad
dark,
I didn't do that
hair,
joke.
Dark hair, little. Again.
Brunette, yeah.
She never wins, but
she
kills
won once.
It.
Yeah,
she
won
once.
It's like 20 or something years. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they give it to her, Sarah?
That's the thing. I don't know. Why won't they let him win? I don't know. You know, he's currently the Intercontinental Champion, so we'll see.
This has been another episode of Soap Opera Stars Who Never Win.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think I wish that I could have maybe figured out something about him that was more fun or just put the jokes out there in a way that were funnier. Like, he really does have pink underwear in his house, and like there's animal print everywhere.
Right.
And it's the thing is, like, you know these things about someone, you're like, now I have to tell you this because you don't know that about him.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So explaining something and then trying to do a joke off of a joke that you have to explain is very difficult. So I guess I wish that I had just done a better job of that. But that's about it. I don't know. I think we both did a good job, and we're both very happy with it. But
that's good.
Yeah, we had a good time. You guys both look like you had a good time. And for his first, him being a virgin at this, I thought he did a hell of a job.
Concerned, man.
Yeah,
he was awesome. That first joke, he almost got like a bad sound effect, man. Lucky I didn't have to wave this all down. I was on it
again. That joke, like, he even retold it to me the way that it was supposed to go, and I was like, I don't get that joke. And
nobody did.
But he loved it, and that's all that matters. Like,
hey, man,
when you love it and you think it's gonna kill, again, that comes down to the decision making and the audible that you call. Like, how do you figure out which one to use? No matter how many times you try it out on different people, ultimately it's got to come down to what you feel comfortable saying.
Actually, we have a clip of you and Dolph battling. Let's actually hear some of that right now.
Dolph and I have been very close friends for many, many years, and I think it's safe to say that you're a ladies' man, but you're perpetually single. Honestly, Dolph has lost more girls than an ICE detention center in El Paso.
Good start. Good start. Sarah is a country music singing, truck driving, beer drinking redneck. Woo!
Yeah!
The only thing feminine about her is she's not funny.
I think I'm going to disprove your point in about 2 seconds.
Well, thank you, Sarah Tiana.
You're welcome.
For coming on the Roast Battle Podcast on Comedy Central. Coach, anything else? Pat, anything else?
Nah, man. Keep watching Comedy Central every Tuesday, 10 o'clock Eastern, for new episodes of Roast Battle.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
It's a good show.